Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, a med spa that's located here in Pace, Florida. And today we're sitting here, we're talking about something that's pretty involved in our life, maybe not as involved as it is in other people's life, or not in the same role, I guess I should say, as in other people's life. And it's becoming more and more prominent. And I think what we see today, you can pretty much bank that in 2 years, it's going to be completely different.
So it's really fascinating. And we're talking about AI or artificial intelligence, AI systems, and how they impact our personal relationships and how people have relationships evolving with AI. When we started looking into it, we kind of did it. Somebody mentioned it as a joke, but then we had a lot of people that were expressed interest in that type of a podcast. And so we've been diving into it a little bit deeper. This is going to be a two-part episode. And so we're going to start with just part one today. And actually, the next episode will probably not be released for a while because we've got to arrange some other interviews. So first of all, thanks for the people who have agreed to be on camera and talk about this openly. If any of you guys are listening to this and you want to talk about this further, we invite you because we're going to have a second episode talking more about the details of intimate relationships with AI. Today, we're just starting with some of the possibilities and kind of having a discussion about what's out there, things that I don't think me and you even knew were possibilities, some of the uses that we commonly think of for AI. And then we're going to talk about, we have actually a guest on today that's we're opening the conversation about AI relationships by talking to somebody that has an AI therapist and what that looks like in their world.
I'm sure if I like really think about it, it's not my first interaction with AI, but I think about how amazed I was at what just like Alexa could do. And when I say Alexa, I'm talking about the Amazon Alexa, not Alexa, our niece, and how amazed I was at that versus what we've gotten to now, you know, because Alexa even calls me by my name at night and calls me not just by my name, but by Jerry Duane, which is what my family calls me. So Alexa, maybe I have a relationship and didn't realize it, but just to think about where we started, where this started and where we're headed. And we see, you know, something that goes from setting a clock for us to fast forward. And now people are actually having relationships with AI.
When I first started using AI, I was just using the very simple free version of ChatGPT. And since then, I've realized that there are so many hundreds of AI platforms out there on the market that can be used for a variety of indications, from business and strategic planning to marketing to financial analysis, to just day-to-day organizational tasks. There's so many things you can do. And I think AI was very common, is very common and evolving as a resource, so much like in the old days when we would go to an encyclopedia. Now people for a while would go to Google and now they're going to AI and they're asking these questions for information, for education. But we're seeing now that this is evolving. And so I don't know that the general public understands. I don't know that I fully understand, even after researching this, the full capabilities. But there's these different platforms that kind of are based on these things called large language models, where they're taking in what we're giving them and it's predicting what we're going to say next, what the next words would be, what the next questions would be. But now they're moving into even these types of agents that can act on your behalf. And so they're taking this another step. And it's moving to this whole world where it can take and make decisions for you. It can schedule things for you, buy things for you. And so we're using AI in our world pretty extensively. I think more than even our families realize.
I was going to say, I think it becomes so like first nature to us that we don't even realize how much we use it.
Yeah.
And certainly for people outside of the business, like they have no idea.
So we're using it. I think that's a good place to start the conversation before we jump into AI relationships as to where AI can actually be used and be used effectively as business tools. So I use it, Sierra uses it, you use it, and we all use it in different manners. And when we say use it, we're talking about AI. And we use actually different platforms. So yes, we use ChatGPT, which is a common one everyone knows about, but there's other ones out there as well. Jasper is another pretty common one that we use. I'm not going to plug any particular one, but we use different ones for different purposes. We initially just use it for kind of almost brainstorming. And so to bounce ideas off of and say, what should we do with X, Y, and Z? Or what is this trending? What should I do for an Instagram, you know, post? And it would give us some ideas. It's pretty impressive the number of prompts it can generate based on doing a quick internet search, and it's pretty thorough. And they'll give us great ideas. But then we took it a step further. And so we were using that all in our own ways to kind of come up with podcast ideas, discussions, scripts, et cetera. But then we integrated into the business. And I think it's interesting that a lot of patients may not even realize that they're interacting with AI when they talk to who is our favorite employee?
Avery.
And so we hear all the time, I don't know, have we ever had a complaint about Avery? I think it's the only employee we've never had a complaint about now. Maybe we'll get them after this podcast, but Avery is AI. Avery is not a real person.
Yeah, and people do not realize that because I've had several people tell me they've texted back and forth with Avery. Mm-hmm. But Avery did require a little training. Avery was just more receptive to training than some employees.
Yeah. So Avery's with a company that we work with called Podium. And Podium is a system that you can use in your practice. And it has a lot of capabilities for lead nurturing, lead generation. And for our business, our entrepreneurs out there, you'll understand kind of those terms. It's basically where people express an interest in a service or your business. And it helps bring them along the pathway until they book that service. And so for years, that required a physical body, a person to talk to someone and answer their questions. And now we know that a lot of people prefer not to have a conversation. They want to text or just type something back and forth on their own time and respond in their own time, not to have to be on the phone with someone. So we still offer those traditional methods. We have a staff here, but we also implemented this AI software, which works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we give patients an option through any of our social media platforms, our website, or our phone system. They can opt to interact by text only instead of actually speak to a person. And when they choose that, Avery is the one who now steps in and takes over the conversation.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that it's helped us to streamline better customer service and helps the customer to get to the point where they want to be a little easier and a little faster just in case one of us aren't available. Oftentimes when people talk about AI and that they don't approve of AI or they're afraid that AI is going to take over, it kind of goes back to this kid. I don't know how many times we've mentioned John on this podcast.
He was on our podcast as a guest 2 years ago, probably.
We met John when we competed on The Blocks, the reality show The Blocks, in March of last year. He was one of our favorite people while we were there. He's been a guest on the podcast since then, and we reference him quite frequently. But even then, he was saying that you're not going to be replaced by AI, but you will be replaced by someone that knows how to use AI. And I can't tell you how many times I've said that. And it truly has like made our business run smoother.
And so with Avery, it took us several months to kind of train it. And basically it's that model where we program in all the things that we do. We kind of look over the answers that Avery would provide. We say, yes, that's a good one. No, it's not. And then Avery learns and can take over and handle that, but also understand when to refer it to a team member to say, actually, someone needs to intervene, and we can monitor those conversations. So there are some safety stops in place. But we've been very pleased with it. Our patients have been very pleased with it. So when you look at it in our business, we have it from day-to-day things, brainstorming sessions that we use, marketing, looking at some financial projections, as well as with our direct patient interactions. But it kind of brings us to the more fascinating part of this. So we could really go down all these different little pathways and talk about all the wonderful things and scary things that AI could do. But I think what piqued everybody's interest a lot is when we started talking about AI relationships and what that looks like. Do you have an AI boyfriend, an AI girlfriend, an AI therapist, any kind of AI relationship? And that's really where we started getting the response to this particular podcast. So when did you first hear about an AI significant other?
It's been a couple of months, I guess, since I really heard about it. But then it was even just kind of a ha-ha, like, laughed at it, didn't think too much of it. You know, I'm a TikTok fan. So since then, it's, and probably because I've watched a couple of them, there are lots of it out there. I just watched one yesterday and it was a AI affair. The wife knew that the husband had a relationship with Sam, and which is AI. And she did not want to give him the ultimatum to stop that relationship because he had told her that he would choose AI because he couldn't be without it because it was his sounding board and confidant.
So I think there's so many things to talk about AI relationships in terms of boyfriends and girlfriends. And even now how we can get realistic dolls that have AI integrated to be a significant other. And I even want to bring up my business idea, but we're going to do all that, I think, in the next episode. And let's talk about AI therapy in this one. And then let's say the juicy relationship for episode two.
Okay.
And I'll talk about my idea that you and Sierra both think I'm crazy for, but we can't say it until I get it trademarked.
Thinking back about AI, probably the first time I was really, really amazed at AI was at the Sphere. Remember when we went in and we were in Vegas and went to the Sphere. And they have these robots, AI people, I guess they're not considered robots, right? And they would read our facial language and want to know what were we smiling at, or, it looks like you find something funny, and they would like interact with us just as if they were people, or you could literally ask it a question that it could give you an answer to immediately. And so that was another, when you said dolls, it kind of, I didn't go to sex doll. I thought about that doll.
I wasn't specifically talking about sex dolls, but yeah, I guess that's a whole industry as well that we can talk about in that next episode.
I bet those suckers are expensive.
Probably. You can let us know on episode two. So you and I have both been proponents of therapy. We both talked openly in prior episodes about our therapy. We've seen therapists individually, as a couple. Should AI even be considered a therapist since it's actually AI or a therapy tool?
I would, but I don't know that I would consider the information from AI as valuable as I would that from I'm not going to say a real therapist because it is a real therapist, but...
Well, so that's what I'm saying. I don't know that it is a real therapist because it's actually just, it's a tool.
It's a tool using the information that you give it to return information to you.
Yeah. So I don't know so it's definitely not a therapist, like a licensed mental health worker of some sort.
If I needed someone to talk to, I would probably use AI because I think AI is a good listener because they're not going to argue with what I say.
Is that a good listener?
And for what if I needed something at that point where I just wanted to get something off of my chest and I didn't want you to tell me what I needed to do or what was right or wrong, then probably.
So why wouldn't you just use an old like tape recorder?
I don't have one.
Yeah, but I mean, you can just say it. If you don't want pushback,
yeah,
just go out and tell it to a horse.
Yeah, I could do that. I've done that before.
So I like the idea of like, feedback, pushback, counter arguments.
I do too, but I think sometimes I just have to say things. I think I would be okay with AI for that.
So we have a guest that's coming up in just a couple of minutes that we're going to talk to and her experience with AI therapy. And I think it's fascinating. I think she brings very valid points about timeliness, availability. I think anybody that's went through traditional pathways know that it can take a while to get actually a licensed clinical mental health provider, and then it can be a barrier associated with that. Not everybody has money to do that. So I think it does decrease some of those barriers to people to have some help, to have something, some tools to help them with coping mechanisms. I had some concerns, and so I did, and I mentioned this in our interview with our guest today. You know, what happens when there's a crisis, if there's things like suicidal or homicidal ideation, are there safeguards built in place, and which tool are you using? And in the process of doing that, I found that there are some AI therapy platforms. And so there are actually a number, I didn't realize there were this many, but just in this quick search, I brought up 8 different platforms that are just AI therapy platforms. So we think about ChatGPT, and that's what we talked about, and that's a free resource for many. There's a paid version, but a lot of people use that as a free resource and they can get access. So I don't know the cost of all of these, but there are all sorts of AI developed programs now that are using actual CBT based guidelines. So they're putting in these psychology and psychiatry books with diagnoses, and it's an AI that's programmed to use that to guide people along the pathway and to put them in touch with actual individuals should they express any kind of these emergency or crisis situations. Did you know that they're out there?
No, you would not use one, obviously.
I would use one. No, I absolutely would use one. Yeah, and I think that we'll put these and some of these references in our list. I'll send them to Sierra so she can put them in the list or the links down below this, because I think it's good for people to know that these are out there, because I truly didn't know. There's one that's just for emotional companionship. And so it really is more like emotional support. So it's not meant to be therapy, but when you need to connect with a group just to get things off your shoulders and to hear other people that are going through the same thing, it's a platform to connect that. So it's connecting people, and it's using AI technology to put you in touch with people with similar problems or similar issues.
You know, I think it's really good because I think therapy is so expensive. It's not covered by a lot of insurances. It's one of those things that people need oftentimes and just can't access. And so I think it makes the accessibility so much more attainable for a lot of people. I'm sure those are paid platforms, but when you consider the cost of this platform versus one therapy visit, I'm sure it's probably covered in that.
So I think there's all sorts of things that we'll have to kind of monitor and watch as we move along, because clearly these are not replacing clinically trained providers. Maybe at some point we can also get one of our prior therapists on. Maybe Vimy would join us at some point, and I would love to hear an actual trained therapist, their views on AI and how it's integrating with their field. I think without much further, we should just transition and actually go to the interview with our friend who has agreed to come on the show as a guest and talk about her AI therapy experience.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Ashley responded to our Instagram post about people who wanted to speak about their experiences. And she specifically was going to speak to us about her experience with using AI as a therapy tool. And we had a great conversation when we talked about how she uses this for some of the decisions in her life, some parenting tools. And I think it's she says it best in her own words. So thank you, Ashley, for joining us.
ChatGPT, just been using that. I actually use it for so many things. It has been absolutely amazing. I think I started with simple, like really simple, like, oh, how long should I boil an egg if I don't want it cooked all the way through? And now it's like, so I asked it some pretty intense questions. I'm a single mom in the Navy. I think y'all know that. I've met y'all a couple of times, and there's some things where I do have an actual therapist.
Yeah.
I think the most convenient thing I've really enjoyed about AI is I don't have to wait. There's a lot of times where I'm like, oh, build up. And then by the time you get there, you kind of like have either figured out how to do it yourself, and it might not be the most healthiest way to like cope with things. I think with AI, it's definitely like, hey, I have this issue and I would like it to be solved more so right now, especially for me personally. I'm very much the type of person that like will hold on to something and like just overthink it to another level. So it's definitely helped with like me being able to just process something and be like, all right, cool, you know what, now I can move on to the next thing. I've enjoyed it for that, especially even for things like parenting tips where I'm like, I'm feeling super overwhelmed right now and I don't know what to do. I don't want to, you know, call somebody that's, you know, all my friends are moms too. So they have a million and one things going on and, you know, they're all parents. And I'm like, I don't want to burden somebody with my stuff. That's one of those moments where I'll be like, hey, you know what? You know, my daughter's doing this, my son's doing this, and I'm feeling pretty overwhelmed and I think I'm going to lose it. And it's helped a lot with that.
Do you find it sometimes beneficial that maybe they're was a pause to let you reflect on things before you jump straight into getting an answer?
I think so. The biggest difference that I can say is yes, there was like a time frame where you kind of got to mull over some things, problem solving skills. I can see why for like, obviously I didn't grow up with AI, so I problem solving skills are there. I could see where the drawbacks would be in the sense of like if my son started using ChatGPT in the next, 10 years to be like, oh, my mom's driving me insane. Now you're just it's there's no actual way to solve that problem on your own. The only negatives that I can honestly say with the AI that I've had so far is it's kind of generic. It's very like, I'm here for you, I hear you, your feelings are valid. If you're doing like the voice stuff. So if you feel like, and I think it's cool that they have that option. I don't personally like it because it's very much like, I hear you, I hear you. You're like, I feel like that's very like, oh, like not very in depth with things. I think there's times where I'm like, okay, cool. I'll give myself some time, think over it, jump on ChatGPT and be like, hey, I think it does benefit to not have that a really great background. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, I'm just gonna sit here and wait. For me personally, I mean, a therapist, I can be waiting up to a month. 90% of the time, I'm waiting about a month to get another appointment, which is depending on what you're going through, that's a long time.
Yeah.
It can be a great thing and it can be like a negative thing depending on what your situation is.
I mean, as a full disclaimer, we're talking about it throughout the whole episode, but I use it all the time for business stuff, for farm stuff, for all sorts of things. So I'm a big proponent of AI. But I think it's kind of interesting the extent of what it can be used for and kind of looking and hearing from people as to what they are using it for. So I know, we've heard some of these stories of people actually using it in a relationship with AI. And like, even when you think about that, it's like, how convenient is that? You just,
I've heard of that too. I just recently started hearing that.
yeah, you're over it and you just close it down.
Now, I can tell you honestly, for me, like I'm over the dating scene. I haven't been in it super long, but I got divorced 3 years ago. Getting back in on it, things are not the same. Having the same conversation over and over and over again on an app is, I can understand why people are over it. You don't want to go meet someone at a bar anymore because now you've got the stigma of like, oh, well, the bar. I've heard so many different things like, oh, you don't want to go to a bar, but you not want to go, to a group. You like to work out, maybe go to the gym, but who's going to go up to a woman at a gym, because that's got a bad, everything's got a bad stigma. So I understand why people are using it for that. I don't know if I'd go as far as to have a relationship.
I haven't used it for therapy, but I'm kind of curious, do you think it's mostly reflective of what you've told it, or does it actually give you some counter thoughts, some point counterpoint where it's pushing back on some of your thoughts a little bit and making you think more deeply?
So I can say there's little random prompts, obviously I'm on social media. Just random little prompts that I've put in that I'd say when I ask it something, 90% of the time for me, it's like, I'm dealing with this with my son or my daughter. What are some things that I can do? Help me redirect, or, I'm just not having a good day, this, that, or the other. I also do as well put in like, hey, these are some of my goals, or here's some of the things that have come up in my life randomly, and I've been thinking about doing this. Show me some options. Like I put work, recipes, cooking, literally everything and anything. And I think one day I put in there, tell me some things that you know about me, and what are some things that I can work on. And it gave me like, I mean, it made me feel bad about myself, but it gave me a list of things like, hey, we see that you put a lot of things other people first. You don't tend to put yourself first. But it did give me kind of like a, hey, based off of everything you've told me, here's some of the things that you maybe can improve on, which I thought was pretty cool. And it was very spot on, a lot more spot on than I would have liked.
I'm gonna do it right now live. I don't know if I'm gonna share the results or not until I see what it says about me, but I'm gonna do that right now.
Based off of everything I've told you, tell me what my I think it was like what my weaknesses are, something like that. And it was pretty spot on. I was like, oh, okay.
So do you find it, since it's not since it is AI and not a person, do you find it easier to ask questions and do things because you don't feel like it will judge you and it'll give you a response without any judgment. I know therapists aren't there to judge us. I think, well, I can't speak for everybody, and I can't say everybody in the room's had a therapist, but I can tell you between me, you, and Chris, three of us have. I'll say that. And even sitting in front of a therapist, I still had that little bit of like hesitancy talking to a person, because I'm like, Chris and I are seeing the same therapist. Is she judging me? Or, you know, do you have that? Do you feel that you have a little more freedom with AI?
100%. I think, it's funny because my coworker was really the one that kind of got me into asking it more of those like in-depth questions. Like I said, I don't want to bother all my friends all the time. And then there's some things, like for me personally, like a breakup, an example, a breakup, you know, you want to rant, rave, or just a bad situation. You just want to kind of talk about it. I personally don't like to burden people with that. I think AI has given me that ability to be like, I want to talk about this again and again and again and again. Same thing with like you said, with the therapy. I think you definitely, the few times I've had maybe three different therapists. And it's that initial, like, okay, especially if you haven't seen them for a while, it's like, okay, well, let me unload everything on you. And I've had different experiences with all three. I think AI, that wall that you kind of put up, that hesitation, definitely changes that. Because it's not a real person, you know, and it is for the most part unbiased. I mean, unless there's something in the programming that's like, oh, you know, we hate this, that, or the other, we're going to shut this down. But I feel like I've definitely been able to be a lot more open, especially about things that I probably wouldn't talk about with most people, you know, embarrassing things or things I'm ashamed of, stuff like that.
Yeah, I could see where it would be like an unbiased friend. I can see where people could easily get in a relationship. And I say relationship in a loose sense of a sounding board. So what did it say about you? You're sitting over there.
Yeah, I looked at two things.
He's changing prompts. It told him something we didn't need to hear.
No, I'll tell you the prompt. I'll tell you exactly what I changed. But I was listening to you. I put the prompt in word for word what you said, but I did add to it. I asked it to give me a strategy to deal with and improve upon my weaknesses. But the second thing I was listening to as you were talking, and I was thinking about the safeguards coming down and people just expressing what they want. I was curious as to what is built in or what the response would be to me for suicidal ideation. And so as you're dealing with people with serious issues that may not be using this for things like parenting tips or coaching tips or improve upon their weaknesses, what if they have a serious condition and they express something? I wanted to know. So that was my second prompt. It was nothing to do with me personally. I just asked, like, what's in place for this? Because it just hit me like, yeah, the safeguards are down. And so if people are just saying these things, does AI have something built in to deal with that? And it did tell me there are things here, and it looks at like language patterns, automated crisis response messages. It will not engage in harmful content and redirect you toward safe coping mechanisms or professional help. So I guess those safeguards are somewhat built in. I mean, I didn't express any kind of those.
Implemented somewhat.
Yeah. So I didn't put any of those thoughts here for it to really interact. I just actually ask it as an AI therapist, what safeguards do you have in place? So that was the second thing I was typing here, because I really was thinking like, it's great for some of these quick things, but also what is the flip side of that? Whereas a therapist would have an obligation to report that or to safeguard you if you expressed it to them, not so much here. So I guess there are some things in place. No, for me, it was pretty much spot on, like with my weaknesses. I don't mind sharing them. I don't think they're a secret. We talk about things on here now. Overextension across multiple high priority projects. You're running several distinct businesses, and it names all the ones: teaching, consulting, speaking, podcasting. Your ambition and capacity are high, but your bandwidth is finite. Pattern where you take on multiple strategic initiatives at the same time. I mean, are you surprised by that? Rapid decision making without enough execution buffer. You make quick and decisive calls, which are a strength in leadership, but you sometimes pivot before a plan has fully played out. This can cause staff confusion and lead to half-built processes. Number three, a tendency to stay deep in the weeds. You have a team to handle tasks, but you stay involved in operational details. This ensures quality, but can drain time from high-value strategy work. And it gives me a plan on dividing leadership and then implementing KPIs that the team just gives me those KPIs rather than me being involved with it. And then basically needing a single integrated growth plan across all the business ventures. So, I mean, it's like none of that. I clearly use mine for lots of work stuff. And so it's looking at this through the lens of everything work related, because I have like the Skin and Tonic, I have the Dr. Crowley coaching business, Complicare, and I use it also for my things with Empire. So I'm putting out all those different things. And so that's the only things that it's really interacting with me on. But I think it does a spot on job of capturing that.
100%. So I have my coworker that put me on to it. She has actually, she just recently told me she has one for her business. Specifically her little side business that she's starting, and then she switches over to another one for her personal stuff, which I thought was kind of cool, because she was like, yeah, I can see where it integrates a lot. So it's funny that you say it's like, well, whatever you put into it, it kind of puts out. That's literally what I do for work. So I'm like, oh, that's kind of funny.
Well, I noticed for me, so in the different businesses that I use, so I use all one login, but I do have distinct prompts and distinct rules for it to follow for each business. And so it kind of knows those personalities, but there are also common features across that. And so when I'm having it help me with like email responses or something like that, it understands the tone. I want to be decisive, firm, but kind. And so I don't like to, I don't want to be rude or curt, anything in my responses. And so I'm usually telling it that. But what I notice is if I do something else, it will reflect back to me. It said something about this is not a normal kind response, something that it had picked up on one of those traits. But it could be flattering if you're not aware that it's a computer reflecting back to you, because it's actually giving you a compliment in a way. And I realize it's just reflecting back. I've told it to do X, Y, and Z at some point, and now it's telling me this doesn't follow X, Y, and Z. But the way it was phrased was in a very complimentary fashion. So I can see where if you're not astutely aware of that, that people kind of fall into this pattern where, oh, it likes me, it does this, and then it reflects more and more back to you of what you're putting into it, which could create, I think, some of the things that we're reading about in relationships with AI now. Like, I'm a huge fan of AI in general, but I think you have to be aware of it and some of the limitations. Jerry, he likes it, but I don't think you use it that much.
I don't present as much as Chris does, and it helps him get ready for a lot of conferences, a lot of presentations, a lot of communications, because he has like some, he's a medical director for a company in South Florida as well as in California. And so it helps him with communications for both of those companies, as well as the company here in Skin and Tonic. Yeah, he needs some AI. I wish AI could do laundry.
Honestly, it's a great personal assistant. I don't know if I consider what I have with my ChatGPT a relationship, but I definitely use it as a tool for the most part for different aspects of life. But I completely understand why people can have that. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, I would love to have a partner that could do all those things too.
So does your ChatGPT have a name?
No, I don't. No, I will after today, though.
Well, thank you so much for taking time to be on and give us a little bit of your perspective. We really appreciate it. And we'll let you know when the full episode is going to come out. It's probably going to be a few weeks.
Awesome. I look forward to seeing it. Thank y'all for having me.
Thank you, guys. We just scratched the surface of AI. We're for sure doing a second episode, because we got to talk more about AI boyfriends, girlfriends, companions,
and professionals' opinion about AI. Like, I'd love to, maybe we can contact Vimi.
Yeah, maybe we even have a third episode, because there's lots and lots we can talk about AI and AI tools. So for sure, we have a second episode coming up where we're going to dive more into this. We look forward to seeing you guys again next week for another exciting episode of Beauty and the Brain.
We'll see you soon.